In 2015, a middle-aged American man with a poker game tattooed on his arm stood at a jungle lodge in Costa Rica. He had only the hum of a generator to keep him company. There in the southernmost reaches of the rainforest, a stone's throw from the Panama border, he waxed a surfboard. It had been almost 30 years since the global rambler from Point Pleasant, New Jersey, spent more than a few minutes in the water. But there was a time when he'd known every surf break from the Jersey shore to South Florida. And there he was, decades later, surrounded by pythons, primates, and the primal urge to fight back against Father Time. Fortunately for today's guest, he knows a thing or two about fistfights. Back to the Get Lost podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Joe Sills, the travel writer with Travel Channel, HGTV, Nat Geo, a couple of other places. Today, we're going to take a trip to Costa Rica, and the guy that's going to take us there has quite a resume. He's a three-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion. He is the master of the Diamond Cutter, a WWE Hall of Famer, the creator of DDPY, and he's an active wrestler on AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays, and he's got his own theme music, so we got to cut our song and do this right.
Self high five.
Diamond Dallas Page, how are you?
Good, but I wouldn't call myself an active wrestler. I did it once.
So no plans to jump back off the top of a turnbuckle again this year?
No, I have no plans for it. They need me to show up and do something for them that's not in the ring. I would consider, you know, because Cody's my boy, so I would consider doing something for him then. But, I mean, I'm not on their payroll. we produce a lot of their television. You know, we produce a lot of their the vignettes that you see that are so cool.
Yeah, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Comeback Studios does all that, which is my company that did the resurrection of Jake the Snake and is very soon going to release Relentless, which is the story from when I blew my back out to where we are today.
So we can add an award-winning filmmaker to that list, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's a filmmaker for sure. Jake's movie was great. I honestly believe it. If it was about three golfers or three rock and roll stars, we would have won the damn Oscar. That's how good Resurrection is. And we had it on Netflix for a long time, and we took it off. We're about to release it on Amazon Prime and a few others. So, yeah, we're pumped about that.
It's a great watch, and it's sort of like a real life version of that Mickey Rourke film, The Wrestler. Although I guess there's no, like, not really in-ring stuff, but the redemption story of one of your buddies, Scott Hall, and Jake the Snake Roberts, the main character in it. It's pretty unreal.
Yeah, you know, considering Mickey ends up going back off the top rope again at the end of the movie. And then you don't know what happens from there, but you know that his history in the movie, The Wrestler, is pretty bleak, where Jake, you know, has turned his life around and literally is making more money today than he's ever made.
That's absolutely unreal considering he was at the top of the game in the 80s. I mean, Jake was the guy for a long while. So.
No, absolutely. And he didn't actually get treated like the guy because he had a lot of issues, you know, and issues that needed to be fixed. So bottom line is today he's been sober continuous, you know, God, since 2014, but I'm sure he had a few slip-ups I never heard about. But, you know, when I see him, you know, I know for the last couple of years he's been clean as a whistle. And because he stays here every time he's, you know, he comes off the road, he'll come through and just crash in my house for a couple of days because, you know, our lives, you know, when you're in the position Jake's still in, you're on the road. Your home is the hotel, you know, yeah. So you don't need to be there when you're off, you know.
Well, that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today is life on the road. Before, I guess you've seen a lot of the world in your career. Most of our listeners will know you from WCW, from coming in and those epic battles with the New World Order and, of course, laying the Diamond Cutter on. Man, I think Dennis Rodman was one of the guys that took it.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Rodman, the Macho Man, you name it, you beat them all. And you were part of that incredible run in the 90s, and you saw the world. But before that, you were sort of a scruffy kid from New Jersey, winning old beat-up cars and card games. I mean, you were living this real-life kind of Han Solo life. Did you ever think you'd get to travel much?
But I was also, you know, running nightclubs as well, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. I did that for decades. In and out of that, and when I wasn't, I was traveling to Houston, Texas, or San Francisco, or, you know, and that, those are places I worked in and learned my craft, opened a bunch of clubs in Jersey and Fort Myers, Florida. So over that period of time, you know, I still got out and still was considered myself a rambler, but never to the travel extent that you do when you're, you know, with the WWE or any of the big, you know, league, you know, places. And the whole thing is, though, you might be in this, you know, one city one day and 300 miles away the next, which you drive to. You know, if it's over 300 miles, they fly you. But a lot of the times you're in the city, you're in the, you know, the arena, and you're in your hotel. You're at the gym. You're getting something to eat, and you're out of there. So
that's it. So if you have a show in Atlanta one night, then you've got a gig in, let's say, Memphis, you're going to have to make that drive. It's about an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, Memphis would be about, yeah, that would be the limit, though. I think Memphis might even be a fly only because I think it's over 300. But if it was Florence, South Carolina, that's 290 miles from here. That's a drive.
Well, that'll take you quite a long time to do. So are you guys having to rent your own cars and everything?
Yeah, well, when you get to the, where you don't need the money, and you always need the money, but when you're making big money, then part of your contract can be cars, hotels, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when you're at the bottom trying to make it, you pay for everything.
That's wild. So, and you're probably not getting paid enough to really make anything. You're just – maybe you're breaking even.
Yeah, a lot of guys, you know, in that scenario, I was, you know, making a little bit of money when I first started, you know, that you could save to get a house, mainly because you had a contract. But overall, it was, you know, first 3.5 years I paid to be Diamond Dallas Page. I was the manager and I was WCW. And the first couple of years, you know, I made enough to break even. And then my career started to take off in 95, 96. By the end of 96, it blew up huge. And I just renegotiated my contract for peanuts compared to what everybody else was making. And I probably could have renegotiated it, but I wanted to wait until it got to the end because then I knew I could ask for the big money, which I did.
Yeah, and it worked out for you. I think that's something that some of our listeners who aren't wrestling fans don't realize is you guys are really, really road warriors. And I want to talk to you today a little bit about one of the places you traveled to. We'll get there. We're going to go to Costa Rica. But before that, I wanted you to talk about DDPY, because when I'm on the road, and this is real talk, real shit. Like, DDP doesn't pay me to do this, but I use DDPY all the time when I'm flying around the world for my own work, because it'll help you out when your back is sore from being in that plane ride forever, or you're driving forever. You can use this little program, and it's all pretty easy. I mean, you could do a workout in 20, 30 minutes. And I swear to God, man, I do one, and I feel better the rest of the day. So tell people what DDPY is.
Well, for starters, the DDPY stands for Diamond Dallas Page's Yoga. But every time I started the brand that originally DDP Yoga, which it will always be, but everybody would come up to me and go, man, I love your yoga. Mm-hmm. These are pretty burly people, or people who don't like, women who don't like yoga, you know, because of the whole, you know, mellowness and namaste part of it, you know, which is actually kind of crazy to me, because I'm the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years of my life. And now my name's attached to it, and I've now started the brand at DDPY. Why? Because I want people to stop calling it just effing yoga, because it's not. You know, it's it was developed out of necessity when I was wrestling. I didn't start wrestling until I was 35. My career took off when I was 40, as in years old.
That's wild.
96. 97, I was red hot. 98, I was just doing, we talk about traveling. I wrestle 274 days and 276 days those 2 years. But I also, that's wrestling in a town, you know, and then getting up, driving 100, 200, 300 miles to the next town, or flying.
Yeah.
And in between that, I also did, I did Hollywood Squares. I did the Tonight Show with Jay Leno number of times. I filmed the movie over that period. I mean, it was like, I was never home. And your body needs to really rest, you know, and recuperate, because people can think what they want about professional wrestling, but you can't fake gravity, you know, and the impact that the boys take out there and the girls. And it's unfortunate, because these girls are really great athletes today. They're unbelievable mechanics in the ring, but they have no idea. The unfortunate part is they have no idea what they're doing to their body.
Yeah.
When you're young and you're strong, and you are unstoppable, you think that lasts forever. Well, being a guy who's going to turn 64 in 2 more months, I can tell you that that's not the way it works.
It doesn't.
So bottom line is, I developed the program in 1999, right in the beginning. It was just really, it wasn't a program for anybody but me, because I'm the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga, but I started doing yoga. I felt some significant results. And then I added in old school calisthenics, you know, to go with it. You know, rehabilitation techniques. I've rehabbed both shoulders, both knees. And I just worked those rehab moves into the program while I was flexing and engaging muscles. And think of bodybuilder, think of a weightlifter, kind of time under tension. Every time you flex or engage a muscle, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know any of this at the time. I was figuring it out. And what I developed completely by accident, which started out as yoga for regular guys. Today, you know, it's DDP yoga, branding itself as DDPY. It's a kick-ass cardiovascular workout, and I can prove it because I put a heart monitor on you. Like, a lot of people know what Orange Theory is today,
mm-hmm.
and how they use their heart monitors in a program. They started that company 5 years ago. I've been doing this for 20 years.
And it's really similar, like having that heart monitor, so you know exactly what's going on.
Right. So you know where you are in your fat burning zone, or your anaerobic zone, or you're not at all and you're just not doing anything. You know, you're just moving, which moving is better than nothing. But when I blew my L4 and L5 out, which basically kind of like broke my back, when I did that, I had 3 spine specialists tell me I was never going to wrestle again. So that's where DDPY comes from, and a necessity to get back in the ring because I had just signed a multi-million dollar 3-year deal.
Right. So your body's broken and you're on, you're going on 40 or you're over 40 at that point.
Right.
And you've got to, I mean, you got to go make money, man. So you had to do it.
I had to do it. If I didn't do it, then the money would have disappeared. And my finally big payoff, the multi-million dollar contract, would disappear. So I had to figure it out because it was a necessity, like I said earlier. But again, yoga was really helpful, but it's not the whole workout. It's got rehabilitation techniques, old school calisthenics, and something I call dynamic resistance, which is just time under tension. Like I say, jacks your heart rate up. So today, you know, our program has blown up big time. You know, we've got tens of thousands of subscribers, you know, that get on our app. We've got people who still buy our DVDs, which blow my mind, but people still love DVDs. And, you know, we're a really successful fitness wellness company. And people go, oh, my God, his workouts will be so hard. No. Well, my initial workouts start off in bed. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't get out of bed. My DDPY Rebuild program will help you get out of bed from working out in bed, that is. And then sitting in a chair and working out there and then using a chair to, you know, to build strength and, you know, balance and stability in general. And, I mean, I've seen so many people who can't get up and get down within 3 weeks are getting up and getting down. Within 8 weeks, they're not even needing a chair, period.
I'll tell you a true story real quick for all our listeners, and then we're going to get on to some really cool shit, surfing and stuff. About a year and a half ago, I broke my arm in a ATV wreck. I went to a birthday party for a guy who's a pro bass fisherman, and we're in Arkansas, 4 or 5 hours from Memphis, the mountains. Get on an ATV, and we ride through the woods for a little bit, and this ATV starts to roll. And I just knew, like, I'm in the passenger seat. It's like a side-by-side thing. And I don't know whether I jumped off intentionally or I was thrown off when it flipped. But I woke up in the woods in the dark. And people yelling. There's dust everywhere. The ATV's flipped over. It's, you know, a horde of people had come running through the woods in the dark. And, of course, all the rednecks in Arkansas suddenly became paramedics. And they're trying to reset my shoulder because when I woke up, nothing below my left shoulder blade would move. It was just, it didn't work. And I ended up, I rode to the ER in a party limo, which is pretty baller, I thought. And I'd shattered my humerus completely. I mean, it was like basically sliced in two and broken into three pieces. So 2 or 3 months later, I've been in a cast. The muscle's totally atrophied, and I'm not allowed to move it. And when, one thing you don't think about if you've never had a cast on is when they take that shit off, you know, you're looking forward to that day because you're itchy and you can't do anything. But when they take that cast off your arm that hasn't moved for over a month, you don't have any arm strength.
Right.
Yeah, my arm, I'll never forget, it was the scariest thing I've ever, it was scarier than the wreck. The doctor takes the cast off, and my arm just falls. It just falls down, and I couldn't move it. I couldn't lift it up. Not an inch, not a centimeter. I mean, it just hung there. And a couple days later, I texted you, and I said, you know, DDP, man, I got to, like, my arm doesn't work, and they're not sure if it's ever going to be fully functional again. But how can I work out? What can I do to try to get some movement back? And you sent me a link to a DDPY workout. And sure as hell, man, I swear this is true. 3 or 4 weeks later, I had, like, 90% mobility in that same arm.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it wasn't anything nuts, like, I couldn't put weight on it or anything, so I was basically just doing stretches and resistance and that type of stuff. But true story, that really did happen, and then several months later, I was riding a bike across Spain. So,
well, it's great testimonial, you know, and it's like anything, you know, just got to find something that's no impact, And that's the whole thing with our program. There's no impact. When you beat up your body, you got to strengthen, you know, and, you know, that's what DDPY does. It's kick-ass cardio, breaks up scar tissue so you create mobility and strengthens your core at a whole different level. But your arms, your shoulders, your legs, everything, you know, with no impact. So it works, man.
Yeah, it works. It works. Well, it's a Get Lost podcast, and it wouldn't be the Get Lost podcast if we didn't take you guys somewhere really freaking cool. So, Dallas, I'm going to ask you to tell people a little bit about your background in another sport, and that's surfing.
Well, I was I surfed from, like, which was really cool that when I was a kid, I surfed from, like, 12 years old to 20. And then I didn't surf for 27 years. And I was living out in L.A., and I had a friend of mine who's an actor, Dominic Purcell. He was on that show Prison. He was from Australia originally, but he was living in the States filming. And we got together, and he said, it's about time, mate, for you to get back on a board. So we went out and bought me like a 9.6, you know, big board. And we went out just running Sunset Beach in L.A., not Sunset Beach in Hawaii. But it just got me back in the water, and I loved it. And I could get out there. The crowds were crazy all the time, but the trip that was the best. Actually, my first wave that I got there at Sunset Beach sectioned up like three different times, which means like a wave is the wave you see the surfer come in, and then he kind of comes out of it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're lucky and you're hit the break perfectly, the next section of that wave will section up, and now you're on another wave. It's still the same wave, but you had to work your way into it, and then it sectioned up another wave. And I was blown away. My first wave was that intense. It was probably about 30 seconds, which is a long time to be on a surfboard. Mm-hmm. And then I started hearing stories about Costa Rica, and there's a million great places to surf there, from Tamarindo to, what's the place on the other side? The other side of the island. San Juan? I can't remember the name of it. It's the big tourist area that they've got a lot of great surf. I can't remember the name.
There's like San Jose is the big capital city, and then Puerto Jimenez down south.
Yeah. Well, I went because of a friend of mine named Murph the Surf. He had told me about this location that was at the bottom, at the end of Costa Rica, right before it got into Panama. I'm pretty sure Panama is right next to there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is.
It's literally about 5 miles from the break I was on, was where they did the Endless, Endless Summer movie. Yeah. Where that guy catches that like 5 minute wave or whatever the hell it was.
It's sort of like one of the iconic surf movies along with Point Break.
Yeah, that was the first one that really, and it's kind of goofy. I watched it again, you know, the way they did it and stuff. But it was way ahead of its time. And really, there was no real information about surfing. It was just starting to come. The Beach Boys kind of kicked off a lot of stuff with the music, you know, of surfing, which they didn't even surf.
Wait, the Beach Boys didn't surf?
Beach Boys did not surf.
So they're posers? They're like the world's most successful posers.
Yeah, they've been Billy Manili or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And everybody busted Manili's, those guys chopped so bad that one of the guys killed himself. It was so bad. Now, all these artists are on tracks. Mm-hmm. And singing, unless it's Bruce Springsteen, you know, or somebody like that, there's no tracks on Bruce's song. You know, but there are a lot of these, especially young artists, they use tracks to sing over.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting, Jericho does not. And I know that only because I was talking to Rich Ward, who is his, you know, partner in Fozzy, and they both do my program. You know, they do DDPY. Mm-hmm. Rich is out there bouncing around at 51 like he's a kid, and Jericho's still banging around that ring at 49.
Yeah.
You know, in the top spot in the world.
And know? Chris Jericho is the AEW champion as of right now. So, yeah.
Yeah. He's killing it. He's doing great. He's loving it. He only has to wrestle a couple times a month, which is perfect for him.
Now, does he surf too? I know he lives in Tampa.
I'm just mentioning that the Fozzy link there.
Yeah, okay.
So my buddy had turned me onto this spot that was a campground. And I you had to take a little plane to get in there. And the airstrip was maybe, 50 yards long. It's like whatever the minimum it takes to fly in and fly out, that's what they had.
So it's like a sketchy jungle airstrip. Is it dirt or?
Exactly. It was dirty cement that looked freaking like dirt. There was nobody at the airport when we landed. It was one of those places. And then you get in the car and you head to this this surf spot that they had about 9 cabins, we'll call them. None of them had electricity. They had the solar lights in there, so you had some light. Mm-hmm. And the only place that had any kind of internet or lighting or anything was the main house where you came and ate. And the food was just unbelievable. But when you come out, there's like 3 different point breaks that break at this part of Costa Rica. And I wanted the mellowest. I wanted the mellowest.
All right, so you're trying to go chill on it.
Yeah, I want to do I don't want to go over 5 feet. I want to go 2, 3, 4, 5 feet, just to have some fun and get my legs under me, because I hadn't done it in a while. And it was beautiful wave. And, there was only a couple guys out there, which is key. And you had to walk through the jungle to get there. And I remember one time me and my ex-wife they built like this yoga studio, but I wouldn't call it a studio. It was more of a 2 floors. And on the second floor, it had a roof over it because the rain there, man, the rain is unbelievable when it's raining. I've never seen anything like it.
You're literally in a rainforest.
Yeah, in the rainforest. And we were sitting on this hammock. And the rain came through like you have never seen for like 2 hours. And after rain let up, then the monkeys started coming. Like, whoa, man. And there was a lot of them. They wanted to cause trouble.
You hear them or you like see them coming in?
Oh, you're looking right at them, dude. And they're looking at you.
What do they want? Are they after your snacks or?
I don't know what the hell they were. I was just glad. We didn't move from that hammock, man. Not until they moved on. I rolled my mat out one day. When I rolled my mat out, a 6-inch scorpion popped out of it at the end. Because you roll it out and he popped out. I was like, oh, I just won't just casually grab that mat again.
Yeah, no, hell no.
You got to remember, you're in the jungle, we've seen big pythons and stuff like that weren't even moving. As you're walking through certain areas and stuff, it was like, you had to be a person who digs the outdoors, and I'm about halfway on that. But one of the waves that I caught, and Brenda had filmed it, the only reason I know how long it was because you could just see a little dot of it. She's filming it on her phone. The wave sectioned up so many times, the wave was 1 minute and 7 seconds.
Wow.
That's an eternity on a wave. Now, it wasn't the endless summer wave, but it was pretty damn cool. And then after a couple of days, I moved my way down to where the bigger break was. And man, that was unbelievable. And it was still a forgiving wave. It wasn't like, it sucked out from underneath you. Like I was on a surf trip for 13 days. So you're out there in Indonesia. This is the year before the big tsunami came through.
Holy crap, yeah.
The year before. And because when I heard a tsunami had come through Indonesia, I'm going, where? And, you know, because it's not like it's one of those big crashing waves. A tsunami is just a big wave that keeps coming.
And you know, that's it. And then it just leaves a path of destruction on these islands.
Some of those movies, you can see it if you go to YouTube, and not the one from not from Indonesia, but you can look at the one that hit Japan.
Yeah.
When I came through and hit Japan. And it's probably about, the waters are right there about 15, 18, 20, 25 feet, whatever they are. And this wall of, it's like someone let the water out of your tub on the left-hand side. Now here comes all the water. And it just keeps coming, man.
So did that hit where you'd been surfing the year before?
It did. It went through there, yeah. And there were so many places we went to. It didn't hit everything, but it hit a piece of it. What I was really excited about, I've got some great pictures. Like that trip, you know, when you're out in the water, it's kind of like skiing. If you go skiing for like 5 or 6 days, you know, if you're rusty those first 2 days, by the fourth day, you're back on track.
Right.
You know, same thing with surfing. By the time I got to that second week, man, I was much better than I've ever been. Because of the consistency of the repetition of getting out there in the water. And what was great is you didn't have to paddle from the beach and then fight the waves coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm a big guy. With the little guys with the little boards, they do that little duck tail under the wave and they just keep going. When you're a big guy on a big board, you get by that wave, you get knocked back. You know, sometimes farther when you just started.
You got to keep fighting. So you're able to get around having to do that? They drop you off out there?
They pull up in the big-ass boat. Then they hop in a little, you know, one of those little rafts with the motor on the back of it. And it drives you right out to the brink. Then you just got to not get caught inside. Getting caught inside means, like, you rode the wave so far in, like those sections I was talking about.
Yeah.
Both places that I did that, I could get out of the water, walk all the way back, and then paddle out and be out there pretty quickly. If you're in Indonesia and you get caught inside, well, there's big rocks everywhere too.
And then you're screwed.
Yeah, and I did it. One time I just got caught. And I literally just turned my board around and rode it in and tried to navigate between all these rocks, which whenever you take off on a wave in Indonesia, because the water is so crystal clear, you can see the reef.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know if that reef's 1 foot under the water or 15 feet under water.
Yeah, so it's psychologically pretty freaky.
Yes, you try not to even pay attention to that.
Let's hop back on that Costa Rica real quick before we wrap up here. When you're out there and you're riding this wave for over a minute, what's going through your mind, if anything? What does that feel like?
Like, holy shit, I can't believe it's still going. You know, I'm trying to get it to go at this point as long as I can, because I know the walk back's going to be really long.
Yeah.
And with that cool part, you could walk all the way back and then just get out to the point and then just, you know, paddle out again. Now you're still going to get by waves, but nothing like you would trying to paddle back. That would take you a long time.
And are there times when you're out there and you're in this sort of volcanic rainforest jungle landscape that you're just thinking, holy shit, I'm still a kid from New Jersey. Like, how'd I get here?
Yeah, but I'm kind of used to that to a certain degree because I've been so many places and, mm-hmm. I've kind of lived like 5 lives, you know. Right now, I'm about to. I'll know by Friday if I'm about to go in a whole nother. Like everything I'm doing is about health and mindset and what you eat.
Right.
And now I'm about to. I'll know on Friday if we are going to be developing DDP's Real Food Eatery, which is real food. So I've already been a part of the restaurant. I'll bring people in to run all that stuff. But the fact to do it and imagine not 10 restaurants, but 100 or maybe even 1,000. See, again, I'm going to be 64. Most people are winding all their shit down.
Yeah.
I'm still going, okay, where are we going to go next?
Well, you'd be like Colonel Sanders and just start up this restaurant chain, only you're serving real food, you know?
Right. Colonel Sanders is one of those guys I will definitely hit with a diamond cutter. If I end up doing this, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. We will, we have this great parody that we're going to do around real food. But again, you know, to be in Costa Rica or be in, you know, Whistler, Canada, or friggin', you know, Japan, you know, Tokyo. Yeah, I've traveled a lot, and it just so happens that the girl I'm with now is and I want to definitely do something with you and her. She is an adventure, those adventure athletes who do the 187-mile.
Oh, back. Yeah, like the Iron Man stuff.
Yes, like the crazy Iron Man shit. And she's a stud.
Well, let's get it together, man. You know where I'm at.
Once all my divorce goes through.
All right, I feel you. Real quick, let's talk about DDPY Retreat, because that's a chance for people to actually go to a tropical location and do DDPY and eat real food and actually get to hang out with you.
Yeah, we do it every year. This is our 10th anniversary, and we really love the El Dorado Resort in it's down there near Tulum. What's the beautiful part, when we work out, they built this the pier out over the water, and it's perfect for doing the workout on. And so, and we're talking about the end of July,
mm-hmm.
and there's this amazing breeze that's coming through. So even though it's July in Mexico, it's sweet. The weather's amazing. And at night, because you're being on the water, you've got that incredible breeze that comes off the water. And, I never feel like it's July there when we go. You know, it feels like it's like, you know, February in down south.
And it's a couple-hour flight, really, from L.A., Atlanta,
anywhere, you know,
Dallas, Memphis.
And the thing I've always gotten the most is there's this place that we go to, El Dorado Resort. If you want to know more about it, just go to DDPYogaRetreat.com, and all the information's there. And what we do is we get what's called an enclave, and the rooms are all right on, like, there's got to be 1,000 rooms in this place.
Yeah.
But there were 32 rooms that engulf this area that are, of all the places I've stayed, I would rate it in the top 1%. If you're on the casitas, they call them. If you're in one of the casitas, it's one of the coolest places you will ever stay. Outside shower, the way they did that, and the rooms are just amazing. It's all in. What do they call that for when it's one price for everything?
All inclusive,
and the property is amazing. And they've got little shuttles because it's a big property. But they've got the little the golf carts going all day long, and about half the people. There's a certain group of people come every year, and then there's always new people that we've never met before. And every time, the number one thing I get back from the people is, wow, this is such a beautiful resort, but the really cool part are the people who come.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like-minded. And I always tell everybody, you are the five people you hang out most with. That's who you become. And our people are super amazing and inspiring. You know, a lot of people are on this journey, you know, to get their health back on track, and they're halfway along, but they feel great because they're, you know, they're actually owning their lives, so to speak. And, El Dorado, just again, go to DDPYogaRetreat.com. You can see from the hotels, I should say, from the rooms to the suites to... We fill up the enclave first, and then you know, it's not your mama's yoga retreat. We got we cocktail and party two days a week. We have a big party there.
You gotta have a party in Mexico.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of functions that we put together. So it's not just like the working out lists that are done. You know, I spend time, quality time with all the people there. Because we care, you know, and it's going to be our 10th anniversary. So it's going to be interesting to see how many people come back for this one. And then I want to look for some other places that have the all inclusiveness, but I've never been able to find any place that could compete with El Dorado.
Yeah.
Now, that's why I go back there year after year. I'm open looking for some other places, but you know, you're going to have to, they make sure that, like, I'm gluten free and dairy free. Everything's organic. All their vegetables, which they grow themselves, their organic grapefruit juice is insane. And I love my Don Julio Reposado with grapefruit juice, fresh squeezed organic grapefruit juice. It's amazing.
That actually sounds awesome. Last question I got for you before I let you go. You didn't start wrestling till you were 35. What would you say to somebody who's 35 and has never been surfing?
Oh, I'd say go to Costa Rica. I'll tell you what, Costa Rica would be a great place. That place I was at the bottom. But they also have these surf camps now. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen them.
They're like a big wave pool kind of deal?
Yeah, but man, the wave is unbelievable. They've got a couple of them in Texas. Kelly Slater, number one surfer in the world.
Yeah. For a decade. Tony Hawk of surfing, pretty much.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And he built one or two of them. And I'm blown away. They've got the simple, easy wave for the people to learn on. And you graduate to the next wave and graduate to the next wave. But, man, when you get to their killer waves, man, I mean, they're tubing. These kids are shredding up that water, man. That's kind of an easy way to see if you really like it and get it under your. And it's easy to spend a couple of days there, you know. And you know, the waves are going to be there. That's the whole thing with Mother Nature. Now you can take off and go to the Planet Surf trip, and there'll not be any waves for weeks.
Yeah, I just did that in Lake Michigan, believe it or not. And the day we were supposed to surf was yesterday. It was flat, so we couldn't do it. We had a paddleboard, which is still great. Only it was 12 degrees, and you're paddling through ice.
Oh wow! Surfing in Michigan at this time of year?
Yeah. What can I say? Travel writing is a weird profession.
I would like to. I'd like to try to paddleboard. I think that would be pretty cool. It's great for your core.
You would dig it. There's a lot of DDPY stuff. Like when you're out there, all of that is being engaged. It's a lot like DDPY.
Oh, I love that you can take the wave like way farther out than the guys can who are paddling.
Yeah.
Because that guy's on that wave, and he's got an advantage over you.
Totally. Totally. You're right. Well, man, Dallas, thanks for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it, and I would encourage you guys to follow DDP on Instagram at Diamond Dallas Page. DDP Yoga is also on Instagram and Twitter at Real DDP. You are the man, bro. Thanks for coming on.
All right, buddy. It's been your pleasure.
Yeah, it has. See ya. The Get Lost Podcast is a production of the Sold Outside Exploration Company. Visit us online at soldoutblog.com. Hit us up on Instagram at Get Lost Podcast. Catch up with us on our next episode when we head from Thailand to Djibouti. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Give us a review.